Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here talking about pet care on the show today. And next, we're taking a look at pet insurance with our guest, Dr. Ricky Walther. He is the chief medical officer at Policy Advisor. It's an online pet insurance marketplace, and it's, I like the name, Policy, is P-A-W-L-I-C-Y, Policy Advisor, online pet insurance marketplace. So as we talk pet insurance, I hope you'll join in. What do you think about it? Let us know how it's helped your pet, maybe saved your wallet. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dr. Ricky Walther, thank you for joining in today. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Tell us a bit more about Policy Advisor and the work you do there.
Yeah, so Policy Advisor is a pet insurance marketplace. So we operate in a way as a broker across all 50 states where we help pet owners find the right policy for their individual pet, given the age, breed, and where they live. So we help them compare and contrast different options and look through all kind of the fine print of different pet insurance policies so that they can make sure that the policy that they choose ultimately is the best fit for their unique pet. And we partner with veterinarians and other members of the pet health and industry to help kind of promote the idea of pet insurance and how it can be a helpful tool for pet owners.
How does pet insurance work?
That's a great question. So pet insurance works kind of like other lines of insurance. So you can think about it somewhat similarly to car insurance or maybe how your home insurance policy works. It's really a way to mitigate risk and kind of budget for care by knowing that you're insured for accidents and illnesses that could come up in your pet's life. So it's a little bit of a misunderstanding sometimes that it operates similar to the way that human health insurance does. It's not typically it doesn't typically function that way. It's more for accident and illness insurance, where basically you're paying a premium on a monthly or annual basis in order to have a certain level of coverage after a deductible towards medical expenses incurred in that year. There are aspects of what we call wellness add-ons to pet insurance that operate a little bit more similarly to the way that human health insurance works, where they'll help cover certain amounts towards vaccines, potentially spay or neuter, or other annual type visits and behaviors within the veterinary hospital. But those are typically kind of bought together as two separate products through a pet insurance company.
So you can get different types of, you can get accident only plans, as I understand it, or you can get the combination accident and illness plans.
That's correct. Yeah. So you can insure basically just accidents, right? So things like a pet falling and breaking its leg or something of that nature would be considered an accident. Or what I would say is probably most common are accident and illness policies, right? So you're insuring against your healthy pet at the time of insurance, getting some kind of disease later on, right? Say a pet, you know, a healthy pet ends up getting something like a UTI or diabetes or an allergic skin disease after they're insured, then that kind of triggers the policy and you can submit receipts to be reimbursed. Two really important things to keep in mind about pet insurance is that pre-existing conditions are not covered. So at the time that you insure your pet, there's typically a waiting period, most commonly a couple of weeks, in which case any diseases that happen in that time will be considered pre-existing. But once that waiting period ends, then everything that's not pre-existing will be eligible for that kind of level of coverage, depending on the reimbursement percentage you choose. The other thing that's really important to keep in mind about pet insurance is that it is one of those things that you will get reimbursed for. So it doesn't often, there's minus a few kind of edge cases, it doesn't often pay your veterinarian directly. You often will pay your bill and then submit receipts to the insurance provider to be reimbursed at a later time.
So
typically a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And so it's important to have those receipts.
That's correct. Yep. You want to make sure that you're keeping invoices and receipts and making sure that your veterinarian knows that you have insurance so that they can help to get you the proper paperwork that you need at the end of your visit. The good news is the majority of veterinary hospitals keep really good records of receipts and things of that nature. So your veterinarian can always help you out if you potentially misplace a receipt or two.
There's a plan that involves accident illness plans with wellness, and I'm wondering about that. What's the maybe explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so when we combined an accident and illness policy with a wellness add-on through most pet insurance providers, what that means is that wellness piece is going to be a certain amount of money or a percentage reimbursement towards certain pre-agreed upon services, right? So when you purchase that wellness policy, it's going to say that it gives you X amount of money towards vaccinations, potentially X amount of money towards a heartworm prevention or a flea and tick prevention. It may have an amount that they give you back towards spay or neuter procedures. And some even have some like dental cleaning or x-ray components that you can, for certain services, you're reimbursed a certain amount. And that's kind of what I like to tell people, it's kind of a separate product than the actual accident and illness policy that operates more like insurance, but you buy them often at the same time for the same pet.
Yeah, we just finished spending an hour talking about dental, and so that might be something that some people would think about considering for insurance.
Yeah, that's correct. Dental disease is actually one of those things that I think is a really common driver for people to look into pet insurance. I'm sure what you guys covered probably explained that dental procedures can be costly, but they're super important for pet health. And so what's really interesting about pet insurance is that, you know, depending on whether or not that dental is being done for medical reasons, right? Infected teeth or a tooth that has an abscess and needs to be removed. Often those will actually trigger that accident and illness policy to pay out. And then certain wellness policies also have aspects that cover routine dental cleanings or something of that nature. So they can be really synergistic. And that's actually partially why we created Policies Marketplace, is so that people can dive into the details. As you can see, it's really complicated. And so an individual pet's use case really needs kind of tailored and customized recommendations.
And how do people find Policy Advisor? I suppose just type in and it's going to pop up.
So a couple of different ways. So Policy Advisor's website is PAWLICY.com. And we have a full website experience where users can go through and find the right policy for their individual pet on their own and kind of asynchronously in just a couple of minutes. But we also have licensed insurance agents that can help owners who want, you know, a little bit more guidance through the process and really making sure that they're picking the right policy for their pet. And in that case, you can call 1-866-POLICY, so PAWLICY. That number will take you to our licensed agents who can help you kind of navigate the options, or maybe even if you're on our website and you have a question about something that we've called out as different between two policies, they're the best people to be able to help you.
Roughly what percentage of pet owners have their pets insured?
That's a great question. So the 2023 data on this, with basically looking at the full 2023 calendar year, showed that we're up to about 3.92% of pets insured. The majority of those are dogs. So dogs actually in the US, we're up to about 5.46%. And cats is just over 2% right now. So that ends up being a growth rate in pet insurance that we've seen pretty consistently of about 20% year over year since 2020. So it's definitely growing and becoming more popular, but still pretty pretty small in terms of number of total insured pets.
I'm wondering why more people haven't gotten involved. Is it just a knowledge thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think that the reason why pet insurance has been slow in its uptake in the United States is for a couple of different reasons. One, I do think is awareness. I think that a lot of pet owners still don't know that pet insurance exists, or maybe are not being talked to about it at, say, the veterinary hospital, there's a lot of effort, and we work really closely with the veterinary community to help with that. So giving veterinary teams resources to be able to have this conversation more proactively in the clinic when people are thinking about their pet's health. So I think that's one major reason. The other, I think, is because of the fact that these policies are evolving over time. But it's slow. So I would say the innovation in the space is definitely picking up. And so people are looking for policies that meet them where they are, right, and cover the things they want covered for their pets. And we're starting to see more and more providers starting to innovate on what those different types of coverage are. We're now up to about 30 different carriers in the United States, and that's a rapid increase in, I would say, probably the last 10 years. So we're starting to see a lot more traction and a lot more options, which I hope will help increase the percent of pets insured. We're also seeing pet insurance start to show up as employee benefits. And so just in the last probably 10 years, we've started to see companies offer discounts for different pet insurance providers through their employee benefits package, which I do think will help to continue to increase the uptake in this space. But it's really important to make sure you compare what your employer offers to all the other options out there to make sure it's still truly the best fit and the best price for your pet.
In your mind, why is pet insurance important?
That's a great question. So I, as a doctor and as a small animal veterinarian, you know, I think costs in veterinary medicine and in medical professions in general have increased quite a bit, especially in the last few years. And I think it's starting to get to a place where, you know, the average pet owner is having a difficult time affording the care that they want to provide for their pets. And so I think that pet insurance is a really great solution for people to consider as a tool in your toolbox, basically, to help afford the care you want to provide for your pet. The reality is, I think all of us would like to put money aside every month for the care of our pets in a savings account and be diligent about that. And just like we probably would love to do that for our car and everything else. But we know that insurance provides value in that scenario because it's something you pay for consistently, and it gives you that peace of mind that you're going to be able to afford a bill when something bad happens. And I think that's the reason why I think pet insurance is such an important piece of owning a pet and something that most people should at least look into whether or not they can afford it, because it allows for budgeting for those emergency conditions or emergency illnesses or things that you're not expecting, where you still can say yes to the care that your veterinary team is recommending without having to feel as much of that financial strain. Now, I'm not going to say that pet insurance is the best fit for every single person. Sometimes pet insurance is too expensive for certain individuals, or may not cover what they're looking for, or they have an older pet with lots of pre-existing conditions where pet insurance may not make sense. But I do think that every pet owner should at least evaluate their options on pet insurance and see whether or not it's a good way for them to budget for care. I also tell owners, though, we shouldn't expect pet insurance to try to save us money, because it really is insurance, right? We are paying to insure risk of something bad happening in the future. If those bad things don't happen, pet insurance likely will cost more than not having it for a pet. But it's when those cases that do happen where there is big payouts needed to help your pet's medical care, that's when pet insurance can really save people money and allow them to say yes to the care they want to provide.
Yeah, I can think of situations from personal experience or friends' experiences where suddenly you're faced with a $5,000 emergency kind of situation. It's going to cost $5,000 for the pet, and that is a tough thing if you don't have any insurance to suddenly have to make some hard decisions on.
And that's correct. I think that the challenge is, right, those $5,000 veterinary bills are becoming more common, right? Emergency care is expensive. Medical care in general is going up. And so it's really not that unrealistic to think that in your pet's lifetime, something like that could happen. They could eat something that they're not supposed to and end up in the emergency room, or, you know, they could develop a condition that requires chronic care for the whole life of the pet and costs a couple hundred dollars a month. Both of those situations can be really challenging for pet owners to afford if they weren't planning on it. And so that's where I think pet insurance is most useful, is in young and healthy pets. purchasing a pet insurance policy and planning to keep it for the lifetime of the pet in order to really help prevent those situations where you do have to make a decision you're not looking to make as ideal for your pet because of finances in the moment.
You know, we have veterinarians on the program from time to time, usually about once a month at least on the show, and they'll often will talk about breeds. And a veterinarian might say, well, this breed has known to have this certain kind of condition. And I'm wondering, how much does a pet's breed matter when it comes to insurance?
Yeah, so thank you for that question. I think, you know, breed is one of the major factors that affects pet insurance, and it affects it in a couple of different ways. Breed affects the price, right? So breeds that are known to be high risk for a lot of medical conditions are sometimes more expensive to insure. What's really interesting, though, is that every carrier is going to treat that differently and decide on a pricing structure differently. That's partially why Policy Advisor exists as a comparison tool, is because we then tailor the recommendation that we give you to the breed of pet that you have, the age of that pet, and where it lives, because all of those things affect the price. The other thing that's really important to keep in mind about pet insurance is that it is an annual policy. So it does have the ability or potential to go up in price year over year. One of the things that we do at Policy Advisor is assign these policies lifetime value scores so that we can help owners understand what those rate increases could be year over year, so that they pick a plan that they can pay for that particular breed and keep that policy for the lifetime of the pet.
That's a good service. I mean, if you can have those numbers in front of you.
Exactly. That's the thing, is it's all about, I think the other thing that with pet insurance that we need to do better as I think as an entire industry is really helping with transparency, right? Pet owners want to know what they're getting for the money that they're spending on insurance. And they want to know what that could possibly cost in the future. And can they afford it, right? Pet insurance doesn't do anybody any good if you can afford it in year one, but when the price goes up in year two, you cancel it before you used it. That's not helping you provide the best care for your pet. And so at Policy Advisor, we believe in transparency and trying to really promote all those details to the surface so that owners can make an informed decision.
Is there a standard? No, there isn't a standard cost, but I mean, typically, what's a range of costs for pet insurance?
Yeah. So in preparation for this, I pulled some data from the North American Pet Health Insurance Association's most recent report. And they reported in 2024 that the average price for a dog's accident and illness policy is around $62 a month. So that's an average across all states, right? So certain states are going to be cheaper than others because vet care in those states is cheaper than other states. And so you can think about that as a national average, kind of assume where your state is in comparison to that national average and average cost of living, and that'll give you an idea there. For cats, that accident and illness policy is closer to $32 a month. So you can see for cats, pet insurance is actually a lot less expensive. Cats, we know, tend to go to the vet less often, and they have their medical conditions are a little bit harder sometimes. They're sneaky. They come up on us without us knowing. Cats are extremely good at hiding conditions. So the insurance can be really helpful for cats as well, because you may not know that your pet is sick, right? But by the time they are really sick, they often need extensive care. But because they go a little bit less frequently and their risk factors are different, the cost is definitely substantially less for cats in general.
Jeff in Superior has something for us. Jeff, hi.
Hello. You may hear my dogs alerting you all that the mailman is walking in front of my house right now. I wanted to let people know about or remind people that there's also rebates available for a lot of medication. And so I've used that at one point. One of my dogs is on a couple different medications at the same time, and ironically, between the pet insurance reimbursement and also the rebates, there was a short period where I was actually making money by keeping my dog healthy. I was getting paid back more than what it was costing.
Oh my goodness! Ricky, Dr. Walter, comment.
Yeah, so I think that that's a really great point, right? Around there's when I think about ways to pay for care, the biggest thing that I tell owners is that we want to look into all kinds of different solutions, right? Mm-hmm. So pet insurance is a great solution, but there's also all kinds of other opportunities and incentives to keep in mind. Rebates are a great way to get money back on medication. There's also other ways too to help budget for care in general. There are certain credit cards that can be used for pet care, right? So financing solutions that can help you pay your bill until the time of reimbursement for insurance. A lot of people don't know that, right? So you can put a bill on one of these credit card solutions if you apply for it, and then you can pay it off with your reimbursement. So that's also kind of an opportunity to not go out of pocket. And the other thing too is that a lot of veterinary clinics offer wellness programs. So sometimes it's rebates, but other times it's discounts that are offered with your own veterinarian. The cool thing that I like to tell owners is if your veterinarian offers one of those wellness plans, it doesn't mean insurance is not helpful for your pet. Insurance can sometimes cover the things that that wellness plan does not, right? Maybe you don't need the wellness add-on we talked earlier about, Larry, where like it's those other kind of out-of-pocket expenses, but your vet clinic can actually have a program like that in certain hospitals that can help really complement insurance well. So I think it's a multifactorial approach on like, how can we help afford care so that we can treat our pets like family members, like so many of us feel they are, and give them the care that they need.
So what would be an example of pre-existing conditions? What are some things that maybe won't be covered?
Yeah, so I think that that's a great question. So you can think about it as basically anything that your pet was diagnosed with prior to you applying for insurance and having that waiting period complete is going to be considered pre-existing. So some examples of that would be your pet has an allergic skin disease on its record, right? So say you have a two-year-old dog. When that dog was a year old, it went into the vet and was treated for an ear infection and an infection on the skin, potentially due to allergies. That pet is going to be marked by most insurance companies as basically an allergic pet or having allergic skin disease and an ear infection on record. What that means is that every carrier is going to treat that differently. Certain carriers will have what we call extended waiting periods, where then they waive certain conditions or allow for them to be covered again in the future. And others won't cover anything related to allergic skin disease from there on, but will cover that pet eating a sock, right? And needing surgery to have it removed. I actually, as a veterinarian, feel it's really, really important, even for pets with chronic illness, like allergic skin disease, to consider pet insurance, because I saw firsthand my clients that had to come out of pocket for chronic skin disease. They're spending a lot of money every single month on these medical conditions. And then if they do have a major surgery or another major incident, that's depleted a lot of their savings or what they budget for their pet. So saving a little bit extra every month to pay for your insurance policy, even if you know it's not going to cover the thing you're paying every month for, still could be helpful for that emergency condition down the road.
Dr. Walther, tell us again, how do we get in touch with a policy advisor?
Yeah, so two different ways. Easiest would be going to our website and going through our comparison tool to look at different options yourself. That is pawlicy.com, or calling our number to speak to one of our licensed insurance agents at 1-866-PAWLICY. Both of those ways will get you to our service. Policy Advisor is completely free for pet owners to use. So there's no fee that you pay for helping us or having us help you find your pet the right policy. And I hope that everybody can get some value out of what we've created and compare their options and see if pet insurance is the right fit for them.
We'll get you back, Dr. Walther. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and I look forward to another visit. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Dr. Ricky Walther, Chief Medical Officer at Policy Advisor. It was great to have him with us. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about your pet and ticks, and you'll hear how Wisconsin researchers are keeping track of ticks in our state. I'm Larry Mueller.